Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Grey Leopard Code with Gary Norris Gray. Gary will be coming to you each Saturday, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking sports live on the GLC.
Black women athletes
Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Light through the eyes of a black guy, please. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
of Richmond, Virginia. The old school music with B.D. Rock, Get Down. And we can't forget the little old Busy Man. Saturday afternoon, and make it laugh, make it smile. Man, old school music. And Pat Freeman, the mighty O-Bob, WUFO, 1080, Buffalo, New York. I hope he goes this day too, because he's talking about Buffalo. And the Buffalo Bills will stay in Buffalo and will not be going to Toronto. Thank you. And remembering Roy Rogers, who this show, Michael's show, The Bad and the Bad, would not exist without Roy Rogers, CEO of BSN, New York City, New York, writers and broadcasters. 707 and it's 609. Mr. Boy, to get up a cold. Don't forget, join the Cove Caravan, the Soul Patrol, and Ad Nation on Facebook.com. And tell the GMC what you want to hear. We'll get right here. Today we're going to do a little bit of,
Tune into One Love Radio on Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time with your hosts Rhonda Harper and Imani Wilmot on blogtalkradio.com.
If you're looking for real talk on sports, politics, and other important issues, tune in to The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. L.A. Bachelor and Tony McClain look to enlighten, empower, and educate people on the topics that people are talking about, but discuss them from a social, economical, and racial standpoint. It's sports, breaking news, updates, politics, great guests, and music in between. It's The Bachelor Pad every Monday through Friday beginning at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Listen at www.thebachelorpad.biz. That's www.thebachelorpad.biz. Follow us at facebook.com/padnation and at pad for truth on Twitter. That's at pad4truth.
Also, can't forget our buddy down Southern California. Kathleen Wells Show.
On a full year, and it's been a fabulous run, and you're going to want to join us. In fact, right now, we're doing a series called Voices from Palestine. My executive producer, Donna Nassour, she's in the Middle East, and she's conducting interviews right now with Palestinians in the West Bank, Palestinians in Bethlehem, Palestinians in East Jerusalem. And those interviews will be played on my show. So you're going to want to join us Wednesday from 2 to 3 on KCAA right here to hear voices from Palestine. You don't want to miss it. Join me.
KCAA, Loma Linda, down in Southern California, in the L.A., in the L.A. area, yeah. Graduate Tuesday, a Cal graduate, University of California, Berkeley graduate, to a fire out of L.A. Yeah. Okay, let's get this party started. First of all, I want to congratulate all the players who got drafted this week, the past 4 days. But there's an issue that needs to be addressed. A few weeks ago, a writer, Nolan Nowalki, who claimed to be a NFL scout, he said that quarterback Geno Smith for the University of West Virginia was a fair quarterback. He said that he can throw the ball well, but he's not a good leader. He said that he would be a good second-round draft choice. drop, you're losing Benjamin. You know who Benjamin is? Benjamin is that little green thing on your wallet. Now, I don't know about you, but if I was Geno Smith, I would go after the Milwaukee. Because the Milwaukee, that was a planned attack. That was a deliberate attack on this young man. Now, Geno Smith got drafted by the New York Jets yesterday. I don't know what the New York Jets are doing, but they got five quarterbacks now. More mess in New York City with the Jets. I hope that Geno Smith gets a chance to show Mr. Milwaukee what he's about. Because remember, 3 years ago, the same writer, Milwaukee, and I don't know where this guy is from, but he needs to go back where he came from. But Milwaukee stated that Cam Newton had a fake smile late the meeting. Not a leader. Well, I think Cam Newton did very well, don't you think? Cam Newton has a 7-9 record for the Carolina Panthers. He was Rookie of the Year. And where was Norwalk? Did he say, I'm sorry? Did he apologize to Cam Newton? No. And this is where these writers need to check themselves. Before you write anything about a player or something or somebody, you better check your facts. You better know where you came from. Because what happened to Geno Smith this year was inexcusable and deliberate. They need to stop. Moving on. This is the 7th year of this show. We did cover disabled athletes, the Paralympic Games, the World Games Soccer, World Cup Soccer, which I never watched soccer life. Watched soccer for the first time when we was in South Africa. We did African-American issues on the field in the executive offices. We tackled local world affairs on the field and off the field. I hope the goal can continue with your contributions and your ideas. We will see. Going at 646-727-3649. Wherever we go. Last week, after the tragic event in Boston, Massachusetts, the tribute continued with the Boston Celtics, the Boston Bruins, and the Boston Red Sox. The investigation will continue. The FBI will be asking questions. And the young man will be under arrest for allegedly blowing up people. Sad news for ABC News. ABC News reporter Al Michaels. Yeah, same Al Michaels was allegedly arrested for DUI in Santa Monica. Michaels will be in court January 26th. Oh, and he was a great announcer. I'll be best for him. Dal Revis, the New York Jets. What's going on with the New York Jets? Dal Revis, who played with Tampa Bay and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I'll tell you, if I'm a New York Jets fan, I'm leaving my jersey home. Because it will be the last place it needs. Because the Buffalo Bills have improved. I mean, the Patriots have improved. And there's no room for the New York Jets. They are now officially the worst team in the National Football League. I don't know how much more a New York Jets fan can endure. But this is getting ridiculous. Well, I got a little thing for Mr. The next story that I have, I got a tribute for this person.
Kobe was home watching the game one of the series.
And he started tweeting about what the Lakers should be doing. Mr. Know-It-All, responds to the press conference that Kobe is a fan. Kobe is a fan now. Really? Kobe is a fan now. You mean a 17-year veteran? Point guard. Four-time All-Pro. Five-time champion, NBA champion. Just a fan now. Man, you have lost your mind. Kobe Bryant is the Los Angeles Lakers. He is Mr. Los Angeles Lakers. You trivialized the man that got you to the playoffs. You trivialized his contribution to the LA Lakers. Now, mind you, I'm not a Laker fan, but this is Max of complete arrogancy on my D&D point. Now, D'Antoni has history. He was in Phoenix. He was in New York. He was in Kamala Anthony. And they both talked about Anthony to play together. He refused to play Anthony and Stoudemire together on the same floor in New York. Remind you, think back how many injuries the New York Knicks had when Mr. D'Antoni was coaching. Well, guess what, folks? It's happening again. In L.A., they would set it. How many players are injured at Los Angeles Lakers? A whole team. Hello? By the way, the New York Knicks are one game away from moving to second round of the playoffs. By the way, Carmelo Anthony is the scoring leader of the year this year. And by the way, J.R. Smith is the sixth man, won the Sixth Man Award. And also, the New York Knicks are the best defensive team in the NBA in the Eastern Conference. Thank you for leaving, Mike D'Antoni. Next question. How many championships has been D'Antoni won? The answer is zero, folks. Zero. If we need none, Jordan to get the best defensive coaches in the NBA. Tom Thibodeau, who coaches the Chicago Bulls right now, he said no. I don't want him. The Phoenix Suns told him to leave, go to New York, where for a few weeks last year in April, a little guard named Jeremy Lin saved his job. What happened to Jeremy Lin? What happened to all the D'Antoni players? He got hurt. Because D'Antoni worked Jeremy Lin into the ground. Just like D'Antoni worked Kobe Bryant into the ground. I tell you what, if I'm the GM, I would let Mike D'Antoni anywhere near my players. But he'll get another job. We all know that. We get our job. On Tuesday, the New York Outfielder Robert Cano is now being linked to the South Florida Lab with A-Rod, Al Rodriguez, among others. And Major League Baseball, see, this is why Major League Baseball is falling out of popularity. Because it does not have a complete drug policy and refuses to do so. You get caught with drugs, you can be out of the game or paralyzed or something. This is, it's gone long enough. From 1986, it's now 2013, and it's still playing with these drugs in Major League Baseball. Every other sport, if you do this, you're out. Baseball continues to play games, and it will continue to be a problem in Major League Baseball. Sorry about guys, but one of our own coaches, Mike Dunlap, and look. The Bobcats are the worst team in the NBA, and the Bobcats can play Michael Jordan for this kind of nonsense. Now, if you have a good general manager, you can have a good team, and finding a coach on Tuesday will not help them. They need a complete overhaul from top to bottom. The Bobcats are the worst team in the National Basketball League. Okay. We got Reggie from WCLM. Reggie out of WCLM. Yeah, man.
What do you say, Big G? Congratulations on your seventh show, man. We're just so proud of you, man. 7 years, man. You're doing a great job.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, I just wanted to say again, Gary, God bless you, man. Love your death because it's not easy what you do, man, to get on the air every Saturday and try to get information and people coming at you from all directions, man. So I just want to congratulate you on 7 great years and 7 more years and keep doing what you're doing, my friend.
All right. I want to know, but how did you come when you do the draft?
Well, you know, I was shocked that Jerry Jones actually must have somebody else doing the pick because people know your center is your quarterback for your offensive line. I was telling Mike on his show earlier today, and I was kind of shocked that they went with the best person available and went with the need. Also, they got a nice pick in with the tight end they picked up and also a wide receiver. So I think somebody must be in Jerry Jones' ear and say, look, man, I don't know what you've been doing in the past, but they had a pretty decent draft. But still, this team's in transition. I mean, like I told Mike, you know, as long as Romo the quarterback, and as long as the Reds coach, Jason Garrett, is the head coach, this team is going to, once again, in my opinion, be 6-10, 7-9 at best if they're lucky. So when I look at the schedule and I look at what they've done, you bring a 73-year-old, old, retired person that couldn't even cut it at USC, and his own son fired him as your new defensive coordinator?
Yeah,
I mean, come on, Gary. You know, this is worse, no offense, than Al Davis.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sad, man. It's sad what these guys are doing. It's really sad.
Did these guys
any linemen or linebackers? Well, I mean, it's still another part of the draft, and I'm really interested to see what's going on with the HBCUs. But I know it's like round, 4-7 today, so I'm sure there'll be some tweeners in there that might pick up, so I really haven't heard anything.
Okay.
But my whole thing, Gary, this one I want to ask you, my friend. Okay, now I want to throw this question out there if I may.
Okay.
The thing that kind of bothered me, again, when it comes to this reporting, when Stephen A. Smith goes after the young quarterback from West Virginia for standing up for himself, and he comes talking about on the mouse, we know that's ESPN, about how they got so many black reporters.
Yeah.
They basically do everything they can, in my opinion, to care assassinate black athletes. I don't care that you might have a bunch of black faces running around. And those production rooms, and those people that make decisions, case in point, Rob Parker. When he made a comment about RG3 being a cornball, why didn't he stop him in a production meeting and say, hey, man, I don't think this is cool. I don't think you should say it. All that happened is the guy got fired. And the voice of reason was Skip Bayless, if you want to believe that, when that situation came down.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, man, but in my opinion, I mean, ESPN and those other guys that come on, the Bob Costas and those other shows that I'm not even going to mention because I won't give them no free advertisement,
mm-hmm.
they are so upset and so angry at the black athlete that they know they can't do anything one-on-one as far as physically. So what do? They get on that microphone and do the poison pill. The poison pill, in my opinion, is to sit back and say, well, you know, this person right here, he has 2 degrees, and he's European, and he's such intelligent. A black player comes with that, well, you know, he's so athletic. He's so gifted. You know, don't say anything about his leadership. Case in point, Ray Lewis. Ray Lewis was a hell of a leader. Was he shoving for himself coming out of stretch, but those guys believed in him and led him. Ray knew he wasn't that good on the football field, but guess what? He was a general, put people in place. When it comes to leadership, all of a sudden, you know, we don't have any leadership ability. Help me out, Gary.
But we had Professor Brent University.
Yes, sir.
He said it very clearly many times on my show and Michael's show and WCLM. He said, if you don't tell our story,
mm-hmm.
it will
Thank
not
you.
Be told. And that's why I'm
Thank
here.
You.
I'm here to tell our story, our way. So it can't be slanted, it can't be colored, it can't be misinterpreted. This is the way
mm-hmm.
it is. And what's happened is people like Stephen A. Smith,
mm-hmm.
who has the ear of executives,
yeah.
say he wasn't the guy. They were talking to Gary Gray. They were talking
yeah.
Because
see, Gary, what angers me again is that, like, when the Pittsburgh Steelers player came on there, he could get in his face and jump in his face and say, what's wrong with Pittsburgh? What's wrong with Steelers? But when Joe Paterno's son comes on there, all of a sudden it's kid gloves. You know, why don't you have the same fire and vigor you had for the black athlete to talk them out when you had a person who father, in my humble opinion, knew about that predator. That's what it was, a predator. I'm not going to picture the person's name because we know he's in jail right now.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
he did everything he could to cover for this guy. And now all of a sudden we're getting a blank look on our face like, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And now his wife literally comes out, the late Joe Paterno's wife comes out and says, we had no idea, and now we're apologizing. No, don't try to cover yourself. And his son has done everything he can to protect the paternal name, but we know good and well, I'm sorry, it is tarnished for life. And nobody talks about the victims, which brings me to the Oklahoma bombing, just like the Boston bombing. Gary, help me understand something, because you're a pretty smart guy. I need your expertise on this. All right, when it came to the Oklahoma bombing, when it came to, excuse me, the shooting that was in that movie theater, when it came to, again, the congressperson in Arizona getting shot, when it came to those babies getting shot in Connecticut, did you hear anybody ask about their religion?
No, I did not.
Any of those shooters? Anybody ask about their religion? But, yeah, when it came to Boston now, and all of a sudden they want to stand there and want to put the boogeyman with the Islamic religion, all of a sudden the religion makes a fact. Can you help me, Gary?
Well, it's just power and control. See, what happened in Oklahoma City, what happened in Colorado, what happened in Connecticut, it's not Oklahoma Whip anymore. This is a societal tragedy. What I mean is, we are on the verge of a mental break. The United States of America is on the verge of a complete mental breakdown. What
mm-hmm.
I mean is, you can't control your kids.
Mm-hmm.
You can't control the TV. You can't control the movie theaters. So people see things, and they don't know what we're seeing, and they hear these things, what we're hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have a bombing in Colorado, a shooting in Connecticut, where'd it come from? When the bombing in Connecticut occurred, it was an easy target because they were Muslim. That was easy.
Yep.
That was easy to
yep.
do.
Yep. Yep, yep. You're right, Gary. You know, and again, I get so angry. I mean, even got to the point that the black media group actually put out a release and saying that you got to be very careful about what you say about the suspect, because they had an incident, matter of fact, in Boston where a person of Middle Eastern dark skin was attacked. So they thought that was a person, and it wasn't. And I don't hear any kind of retraction. And my thing is that the FCC need to look at all these news agencies with the misinformation they gave out, and they need to get hit with a fine. If you can fine Janet Jackson for showing a paste in her boobs, one of her boobs with the Super Bowl, you should not be able to fine news people. I mean, Fox, I expect them to be at misinformation. But MSNBC, I mean, the list of them, hey, even CNN, for that clown to go on and go with a report without even checking facts, and he still has a job? Come on, man.
So when you have an agenda, America has an agenda right now. When you have an agenda, and the agenda was set 8 years ago when President Obama became President of Dayton.
Yep.
That whole agenda changed.
Uh-huh.
The agenda was to attack all people of color, especially African American males.
I believe it now. You're right, Gary. You told me I didn't believe in the beginning, but I believe you now.
Okay, in the beginning, if you were intelligent, if you were educated, they left you alone. Now they're even attacking intelligent black men, which tells me America is going into panic mode. They can't control this man anymore.
You're right, Gary. And the thing that really, again, troubles me, Gary, what I see, again, that people that could stand up, they won't. And congratulations on your goddaughter going to the Golden Bears. Golden Bears, I saw you gave me that. Congratulations on that. I'm proud of it. So give a shout-out. But
my whole thing, again,
I'm not saying that everybody in a high level, you know, should stand back and try to move the world. But all I'm saying is that when you have certain leadership that's supposed to represent us, being black or white, you have to hold them accountable.
Well,
and a lot of times our communities do not hold the politicians accountable. I don't care if they're Republican, Democrat, hold them accountable.
Reggie, the time is now. The time is now. What I mean by the time is now is President Obama being in the White House. Yeah, step up and say, we're going to have a national conference on race relations in the United States. Can't do that. If you understand, in the next 2 years, it will never get done. And if one thing
right.
in office, African Americans will be in deep trouble. I mean, serious trouble.
You're right.
We had a chance to deliver the speech. We had a chance to have a discussion, and now the time is gone. We got 2 years, 3 years to do this. Now it has to be done.
I agree. And I don't know, guys, did you get a chance to hear the show today?
Yes, I did.
Well, see, that's a prime example of, if you heard the show today, we had our own awards today. And like I said, I don't need to be validated by nobody. We can do it ourselves.
That's right.
Now, check it out, Gary. We had the state champion, who's a European coach, who, by the way, went and played basketball at Virginia University under Coach Dave Robbins and was a part of the national championship team when they won Dave Robbins. And he has a majority black team in the Henrico County. And check this out. He went to a black school, learned his craft under a European coach, and went back to a predominantly black school, and the young man won the state championship. As I said before, I don't care what color you are. As long as you want to get out there and help people and do the right thing, I'm all there for you. You know what I'm saying? Because I said before, every black face you see is not your friend. Every white face you see is not your enemy. And I say that again because a lot of times, we better start learning how to network when it comes to economics, in my humble opinion.
Because we have totally
dropped the ball on that.
And people need to go see the movie 42. The reason why I say that is because we need to know our history. What I'm saying is, the question to be asked: did Jackie Robinson begin the downfall of the black community? I know Jackie Robinson. And what I mean is, when Jackie Robinson broke the cover barrier, we had black Yeah, black business from all across the country.
Yeah.
All across the country. Every city has black. Every city has a black restaurant. Say, you cannot say that. Say, it's very difficult to buy these things. My question to the audience is that was integration a good thing or a bad thing?
That's a valuable point, especially economically. But, you know, Gary, the thing that bothers me again, that a lot of times we had those people back in the day, the blacks who owned their own slaves and blacks who sold people into slavery. We understand that. Hell, you had Jews did the same thing.
Yeah.
All races of people did that to each other. You know, and again, I'm not going to argue that point, but my point would be that when the law came, Meritorious Manumission, 1800 in the state of Virginia, matter of fact, you get the book Black Label, White Weapon, Dr. Claude Anderson, he talks about a law, again, that if you were a black person and if you help a white person any kind of way, one, to save their life, two, to make a venture for they be profitable, three, to save their land, four, to snitch in order to tell about a revolt, you were rewarded, a.k.a. Dr. Condoleezza Rice, a.k.a. Clarence Thomas, individuals like that, you know, the Ward Conleys of the world. You know, the Michael Steels of the world. You know, I mean, this is kind of what it is, the Armstrong Williams of the world. And I only have to say now that Stephen A. Smith, because Stephen A. Smith, in my humble opinion, man, he does more damage on that TV show, ESPN, to black athletes than anybody I've seen in my life. He tries to play
right,
both sides of the fence.
You're right, man.
You know, I'm sorry, man. This guy does a bad job.
Well, because it goes beyond Stephen A. Smith. It goes like Michael Wilbon.
Yes, sir. He's another one.
I mean, all these guys who are visible and should be dealing with black issues will not do so. You know why?
Because they said they master well to get paid.
They're trying to keep their job. And they're trying to keep their job.
Like I say, all you got to do is get a few pieces of silver. You can serve your master very well.
Yes.
I tell person, I just be broke because before I sell out, I get the hell out. I'm not doing it.
Yeah. That's what the deal is right now. We have to join together.
We can't. We don't do that because we're trying to beat each other out. Yep. I agree. I agree with you, Big G. Well, I apologize for taking up so much of your time, man. But again, I want to congratulate you 7 years, my man.
You're always welcome to go, brother.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. How y'all doing the bowling, man? How y'all doing with the bowling?
We're in first place, man. We're in first place.
Oh, y'all took the pressure. Oh, you stood up, Big G. Y'all had the pressure, huh? You had the pressure, Big G.
We got 2 weeks to go.
All right, well, see, y'all like the Cowboys. Don't choke on a bone coming down the stretch. Hope y'all can do it.
Oh, yeah,
all right. Yeah, all right. I love you, Big G. Keep up the good work, my man.
All right, thank you. That's Calvin Rusty Dow from WCLM, 1450, Richmond, Virginia. You want to come to my anniversary show? Hope you enjoy it. We got 707. 707, you there?
Yeah, 707 is here, Gary. Congratulating you for your 7th anniversary show.
Thank you, brother.
I came in a little early last week. I thought last week was the anniversary date, but it's this week.
It is week, yeah, this week. It's 5 years of Black Radio and 2 years of Black Network, because we had a radio show in Detroit for 2 years, and then we transferred over to Black Radio in 2008. So,
okay. I want to talk to you about some coaching things. I know you've been unloading on Mr. Mike D'Antonio down in Los Angeles.
Don't get me started again. This guy, if he gets another job, I'm going to scream. Because Mike D'Antoni is a great offensive coach. But he cannot teach defense. Number two, he gets his players injured too many times. When he was in Phoenix, he had three guys go down, three major players go down. When over to New York. He has real ready to break around. And guess what? He's in L.A. Guess what? Bring more players down. He can't keep doing that.
Well, what does he do? Does he overwork his players to the point of injury?
Correct. And when they get 82 games schedule. You look at San Antonio. They know those Spurs. What does Coach Popovich do? He rests his players. And what do? They go to playoffs every year. Every year. Why? Because Popovich understands it's a long season.
Right.
San Antonio had no clue.
Well, how can this guy be so savvy on offense, so ignorant on defense, and so ignorant about player management, where he consistently puts himself at cross position with his star players?
Because he's allowed to do so. That's what he's allowed to do so.
But that can't be very wise on the part of ownership to permit that.
Thank you. And the old boy that we're working. Now, if D.A. Lillard were African ready, he would get a job. He would not get a job anywhere.
Yeah. Right? Here's another question I have. How can the Bobcats be so terrible with MJ and their ownership group?
Because MJ, this is a whole different ballgame here. MJ wants his team to be like MJ, and it ain't going to happen. Then nobody, look. How many LeBron James do you know? How many Kobe Bryant do you know? How many Michael Jordan do you know? See, they're going to have it. And MJ wants every player in the podcast to be like, it can't be that way.
Right. Now, here's another funny thing about coaching. They brought Mike Brown back to Cleveland, supposedly as bait on the hook to get LeBron back there when he becomes a free agent in 2014. I don't see that happening. I don't see LeBron returning to Cleveland.
It depends on if LeBron wins two more NBA championships in Miami. You can forget about him going to Cleveland. Now Miami doesn't win only one more and get funky in a couple of years, then he may come back to Cleveland.
Why would he do that? Why would he do that when history shows that Cleveland never gave him a team around him in order to win?
Well, I think one, it's LeBron James' home. That's the first thing. LeBron James grew up in Cleveland. Cleveland is his heart. And he would go back to mend fences with the fans of the Cleveland Cavaliers. If I were LeBron, I would go back. After what Oren Gilbert said, I would never go back. You couldn't bring
Apparently Mike Brown had to have a personal sit-down with Gilbert to clear the air before Brown would sign to come back.
Gilbert. I have issues with Gilbert because Gilbert had a team that could win two or three championships if he added a couple of pieces, and he refused to do so. So I had no sympathy for Gilbert.
Right. Moving around the coaching circle and performance-oriented, Mark Jackson and the Golden State Warriors are putting on a heck of a show, huh?
You know what? This is the best story in the NBA this year. I believe that at the beginning of the season, and people laughed at me at the beginning of the season, but Mark Jackson is the old-style coach. What I mean by old-style is he knows what each player can do and what he can't do. And this is the opposite of D'Antoni. Mark Jackson knows how far he can push and when to stop. D'Antoni has no clue whatsoever. None. Mark Jackson and criticize a star player in public. You don't do that.
Right, right. Particularly with somebody with the ego of Kobe. I mean, to call Kobe a mere fan now, I mean, forget it.
I think what? Before the end of that, before it started, I think somebody got to go.
Uh-huh.
Either Kobe's gone, or Bobby will get there.
Wow. Wow, do you think that it's the end of the era for Kobe?
Both of those guys cannot coexist in L.A.
Well, now talk a little more about the Warriors, the woebegone Warriors, who are emerging this year, putting on a heck of a show, spreading the scoring around, various players scoring well into double digits, and shooting from the outside. You mentioned this in your notes for the show this week. Isn't it true, though, that if you live by the three, you die by the three?
That's right. You have to do your thing. Do your thing. Look, if you have good shooters, you use them. But if what happens is if you get cold, they try to shoot your way out of a cold spell and use the backfires. The New York Knicks and the Golden State Warriors are almost mirror images of each other. The Warriors are the younger version of the New York Knicks.
Huh. Explain that.
The only difference is Bogut is a very slow center. And this is going to kill him in the second round because Bogut is too slow.
Uh-huh.
The first round, they get away with it, but the second round, it's going to be a problem when he was center.
Right. Changing sports, but staying on the coaching topic, with the NFL draft, we saw almost exclusively linemen being drafted.
Yeah, well, people begin to get wise. Look, you build your football team with a line out. They tried the quarterback, it didn't work. They tried the wide receiver, it didn't work. People are going back to old school. Linemen win, get you protected quarterback. You have a decent pass rush. Those are the keys to victory in the NFL now. If you have a good quarterback, okay, fine. But you gotta protect him. Example, the Dallas Cowboys. But year after year, what happened to them? They get blindsided because their line doesn't come through. And the Cowboys are a good team, but they cannot hold people out of the line. And it kills them.
So this is kind of a major, let me ask you the question. Is this a return to old school fundamentals, or is it now a major fundamental shift in the philosophy of the game of picking the linemen as opposed to some of the prestige players?
It's a fundamental shift because the people are looking to build a future. Yeah, okay, you get a quarterback, you might win 1 or 2 years. But what you do after that, you get a lineman, you're guaranteed to win 7 years. It's a big difference between 3 years and 7 years.
Yeah. Why hasn't this been the philosophy, and why isn't and why is there a return to that? I mean, how is it that they've rediscovered this wisdom?
You look at the Green Bay Packers. You look at the New England Patriots. What they have in common? They have a common linebacker. That's what they have in common.
Uh-huh.
The New England Patriots have been in the playoffs 8 years in a row. The Green Bay Packers, I don't know, 10 years in a row. Linebackers. the game, bro.
Okay. How do you see the NBA playoffs developing? Who do you see as the emerging team?
Well, I would go to the injury thing in the Western Conference. Last night, another guy went down. Oklahoma City, Westbrook went down last Thursday. And when Westbrook went down, the Western Conference is a free-for-all now. Anybody in the West can win this conference now. Because San Antonio, strong team, with Duncan and Ginobili. OKC will get by Houston. But what do they do after that? The intriguing matchup is Denver against Golden State. This series, any more injuries, is going to go 7 games. Because both teams have different styles. And the styles clash with each other. It's going to be very interesting to watch. What I want people to do is watch the front court and watch how they respond to each other because of the contrasting styles. The Golden State Warriors with Curry and what's that kid's name?
Thompson?
Thompson? Thompson and Curry, right? They're oversized guards. I mean, one's oversized, one undersized. And the Warriors play that to their advantage. Whereas Denver has a bigger front court, so the styles are contrasting. Whoever gets the early lead, that's the one that's going to win the game.
Well, I thought you had said a week or so ago that Denver and Golden State were kind of mirror images of each other, both a running team.
Yeah, but they have a different. After the injury to Lee, it changed the whole format. The Mark Jackson after Lee went down, he had changed his whole lineup. And created a contract in style now.
Okay, so describe that. How did the orientation of the Warriors change when David Lee went down?
Well, when Lee went down, he had to change the running style.
Uh-huh.
And before, Curry and Dawson would shoot these bombs. And Lee would clear up the bench. Now he can't do that at once.
Right.
Because Lee's not there. It's going to be interesting to watch.
Now that's interesting because, he's sort of improvising on the go here. A lot of times, you know, when a team loses a component part, its doom is sealed, but Jackson is keeping it alive.
Well, you know, I had to give many props to the Boston Celtics. The Boston Celtics was one of the best guards they have, but Rondo. Coach, he had to change his own style. And the New York Knicks, when you're a coach, you have to change your MO when your star guy goes down or star forward goes down.
Right.
And Doc Rivers, he doesn't get enough credit because Doc Rivers. Bless him, because he knew going into the New York Knicks series that he could beat the team. And he's still making a big effort, but it's just too much. Hello.
All right. Boy, let me see. Hockey. What's happening with hockey?
Well, we got 24 hours left. The New Jersey Devils are playing the New York Knicks. And the New Jersey Devils are playing the New York Rangers right as we speak. And if the Rangers win, they will get the eighth spot in the East. And the West, the last three spots are open with the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Minnesota Wild, fighting for the last spot. So the hockey season will not end until tonight at midnight, and we won't know who played who until after midnight tonight. Which is good for hockey because it gets everybody interested.
Yeah. Who do you see as the emergent team?
This is gonna be a classic Stanley Cup Finals with the Chicago Blackhawks against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and you will see one of the greatest offensive shows in Stanley Cup history because both of these teams can score at will. Also, you have at least one goal runner on the Stanley Cup this year. Those two teams mean it's guaranteed to have a goal runner on the cup. But Ray Emery of Chicago, Chicago, and of course, Calgary's son, Jerome Engle, will be available for Pittsburgh Penguins. So, I would love to see that happen this year.
Okay, so those are your picks. You know, I feel bad, Gary. You know, your other callers, they call in with opinions. I just call in with questions. I come to you for the information and the knowledge.
Yeah, okay. Every call is different. Every call is a different way of doing things.
All right.
I think this is going to be the most interesting Stanley Cup final in years because there are only two powerhouse teams in each conference. Everybody else is like one step lower. So I expect Pittsburgh and Chicago to go out as fairly easy going to Stanley Cup. But hockey always the upset. So unlike basketball, baseball, and football, the more upset the hockey is sport. And that's why I think it's the most popular sport, because of that reason.
Why is hockey particularly susceptible to the upset?
Well, the home court advantage means almost nothing. I mean, it doesn't mean basketball and football and baseball is almost everything. The home team gets the advantage. But hockey, it means very little. I don't know why, but it needs to be that way.
Huh. So there's no advantage to the home ice?
Very little. Very little.
Now, the advantage of basketball is basically knowing your home floor.
Yes.
Baseball, similar. Football, similar. But not in hockey.
You can play anywhere. It's the same game.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's like all the years I've seen 1-8 in basketball win. I was the Seattle Supersonics and Denver Nuggets beat the Seattle Supersonics. And baseball is only happened like 3 or 4 times.
Right.
But not at hockey, like, I can't count. There's so many of them. And also, I think the goalie made a big difference. If you get a right goalie, it can carry you all the way through the finals.
Uh-huh. Okay, this is the transition time here in sports where we're, you know, baseball is emergent, football is doing its thing over on the fringes here, and we see hockey and basketball moving toward its conclusion, but a long conclusion in both of those sports. I mean, we'll be playing those sports, what, into June?
Probably in June.
Yeah. Yeah.
Baseball is slowly slipping into the West. What I mean is, if they don't get out their act, and they don't change their ways, and they don't modernize the game, baseball is losing track. Every sport has changed the rules. Every sport has modernized itself. Baseball is the only one that refuses to do so. And it's killing the sport.
Specifically, where and how do you see baseball needing to modernize?
Number one, need to get rid of the commissioner of baseball. That's the first thing.
Huh.
Number two, I need to speed up the game. Number three, you need instant replay. Hello? And the only sport that refuses to have instant replay. Okay? Number four, have a solid salary cap. A complete solid salary cap. Stop fooling around with this stuff. Come on, man. Stop it.
Now, why do you say that, Gary?
Right there, okay. In the National Football League, every team in August has a chance to go to the Super Bowl. In the National Basketball League, 80% of the teams has a chance to go to the NBA Finals. In hockey, 90% of every team goes to the Stanley Cup Finals. Baseball is the only sport where less than 35% of the team even has a chance to go to the World Series. Why is that? Because they allow the five players whenever they want.
Right.
Hey, you mean to tell me a team like the Pittsburgh Pirates who have not been in the playoffs for 25 years and won't be here again this year? Every April, you know we're going to be here in the playoffs. In the Yankees, Atlanta, St. Louis, L.A., you know they're going to be in the playoffs. And you know it won't be there. Kansas City, Pittsburgh, Florida, Miami, Florida, you know they ain't not going where. Every year. It doesn't change.
You know, we see like the odd card, like the Oakland A's emerge on their low budget Moneyball strategy.
But the Oakland A's, they do it right. They do it right. And we're the only team to do it right. Everybody else, they don't do it, man. They don't know how to do it.
Uh huh.
You mean to tell me the Pittsburgh dealers? Midway fired for 25 years and I'm in nowhere near the playoffs. Why? Because they won't spend the money. Meanwhile, the New York Yankees have been in the playoffs almost 30 years. Last year, for the first year we had the playoffs. Hello?
I think you've recited some dominant numbers. You take all the number of years in baseball history and how many years the Yankees have been World Series champions.
In the World Series.
Right.
145 World Series. The Yankees have won 27, and they've been in 55.
Right.
Hello, and over half.
Well, that's the glory of the pinstripes, maybe, huh?
But it's not right. It's not good for baseball. It's not good for the sport.
Right.
It's not good for the sport.
But why do the owners remain so loyal to the flawed leadership of Bud Selig?
What is Bud Selig?
An owner.
He's the owner of the Milwaukee Brewers. That's why. Baseball needs an outsider, the clean house, and they won't do it. They won't do it.
Well, there we go. Once there's dead air on silence, you got me shut up, you got me thinking, maybe it's time for me to leave, Gary.
No, I mean,
You've done it again. The Cove conversation comes to an end with the wisdom of the host.
No, you bring up a good question, because Bud Selig was fired years ago. What do they do? They rehire him for 3 more years. Why? Why do you rehire him for? You don't want to clean up the game. When you do that, you do not want to clean up the game. That's what tells the people.
Yeah.
Now, I have many, many candidates that could be commissioner of baseball. George Will, Bob Costas, Bob Gibson, Bill White, all these guys would be good commissioners, but baseball is not going to do that because you have an owner. Look, let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. You have an owner in Miami Marlins. What does he do? He tells the city of Miami, I'm going to leave. He'll build me a brand new stadium. Okay? So what does Miami do? They build a brand new stadium. What does the owner do? He sells all the good players elsewhere. Why would he do that?
What?
As he got a brand new stadium. And now he's making $1 million, and nobody going to the game. Why? Because he got the stadium. He don't care. He does not care. And I feel sorry for the city of Miami because they deserve better than that. And Bud would not do anything about it. That's the problem. I'm gonna get Disney in here because the reunion, the anniversary show. I'm gonna get him in there.
Oh,
Jersey, you there?
Yes, I am. Happy anniversary.
It's the 609. It's the 609.
Yes.
Hello, 707.
Hello there. You know, I want to say if it was not for the 609, we would not have a Gray Leopard Cove.
Oh, I don't know about that part, but I'm glad that we do.
Yes.
And I just want to say congratulations, Gary, for staying on the air for 7 years. It's been, I'm sure there were days when you wish that you didn't have to go on.
Yep.
I'm sure
right.
There when you would just hang it up completely.
Yep.
But you hung in there and you stayed with it, and you have taught me a great deal about sports. I know that we grew up in a household where everybody watched sports on television, and they talked sports all around me, but I never really paid attention to it until you started your show. And I really appreciate your patience with me. And I appreciate one of the highlights was that I did the intro one Saturday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That was really a great experience for me.
Well, I would like for you to do that all the time. You're willing to do that all the time.
Well, I'll do it every now and then, but I'm not saying all the time.
Because we can work on that.
Okay. Well, keep up the good work, and don't give up the ship. Stay in there with it. The one thing that I admire for you is that you do tell the truth and you do research, and you have opened our eyes to how the black athlete is treated.
Yeah.
And the prospect of a great future for them. And I'm not saying that there should be a difference between the two or three or four, but there is a difference, and you open up that avenue very, very nicely for me. Thank you, and continue the good work.
Any questions about this week in sports or any events?
No questions this week. It's no questions this week. I'll let 707 ask those questions.
Okay.
Nice to meet you.
One thing that I want people to understand is like what happened to Geno Smith this week? It never happened to any individual. What he got this past week with the album Knowing Milwaukee. If I ever see this guy, I'm gonna run him over my wheelchair myself. Knowing Milwaukee had no right to write an article but he wrote. I believe that some of these writers are in cahoots with the owners. Why do I say that? It's because it cost Geno Smith $1.2 million just for that article that Lord of Rocky wrote. Why do I say that? Geno Smith went from the first round to the second round, which means $1.5 million in his pocketbook. I don't know about you, but if I was Geno Smith, I'm going to have to know the walking. Because it was character assassination under the eyes of a newspaper. And it was wrong. And this is what the black athlete had to deal with day in and day out. The character assassination of brothers across the land. The only way to remedy this situation is to have more black writers, black broadcasters, black directors and producers, when nonsense would stop. I pray Geno Smith gets a good job in New York. Jets. I hope I go to the room. But we will see.
Yeah, give some background. What's the factual background on that, Gary?
Well, Mr. Milwaukee decided that at the beginning of the year, Geno Smith was the number one quarterback in the country. And like 3 years ago, when Cam Newton was the number one quarterback in the country. And 2 years ago, Robert Griffin III was the number one quarterback. And as you know, there's a pattern in this. When a white quarterback is number one, there's no question. And people accept it for what it is. When a black quarterback is number one in the country, they try to manipulate the statistics. And I believe motivated by the overselling writers. And with the assistance of ESPN, the rat, to undermine these black quarterbacks time and time again. Now, Geno Smith has the NCAA record for 8 touchdowns in one game. Geno Smith has a 70% average, completion average. Geno Smith has over 1,000 yards rushing. And yet, Mr. Milwaukee decided that he wasn't good enough. Mr. Milwaukee said that he doesn't have a good work ethic. Mr. Milwaukee said that he's not a good leader. And see, this leads to devaluing that quarterback. And this has happened time and time again with these writers and announcers. Now, somebody's going to have to sue these guys a thousand times because what Geno Smith and Robert Griffin III and Cam Newton lost money because of this nonsense.
Yeah, how is it that Geno Smith was questioned? I mean, what did they do to try to tarnish his star?
He wasn't a good leader. He wasn't a good motivator.
I see.
Yeah. All these intangible, non-football issues.
Right, right.
See, my thing is, do you ever hear about my quarterback? No. No, before the draft, you know, example, Matt Barley, USC. Now, in my opinion, Matt Barley is a good quarterback. Is he a great quarterback? No, but ESPN wants this guy to be a great quarterback. It ain't happening. Matt Barley is an okay quarterback, but because of who Matt Barley is, guess what? ESPN promoted this guy.
Uh-huh.
See, that's what's wrong with this system. It's wrong.
Well, you know, you're following the 609 directions here of calling it out.
Well, I just call it like I see it. Because I get tired. See, I don't mind if a guy stinks, I will tell you the guy is bad. Alright? Don't give me a snow job with make a fake smile and look to the camera. What's that guy do with football? Nothing, absolutely nothing.
Right.
But because of the character of that nation, he gets away with it because of the Old Boy Network. That's why he gets away with it. And I need to stop.
Right. Hey, quick hit, one more sport. I know it's a sport that you don't follow very closely, boxing. But Floyd Mayweather is set for next Saturday to fight Robert the Ghost Guerrero from San Jose Gilroy. It looks to me like it's just a money fight for Money Mayweather.
Thank you. I'm glad you said it. I didn't say it. Thank you. I didn't say it.
But I think Ghost Guerrero does not have a ghost of a chance against Money. It's just a money fight.
Mayweather needs to fight. As far as I'm concerned, Mayweather has one more fight left to fight, and he won't do it. You know who that fight is?
Manny Pacquiao.
Manny Pacquiao, and he won't do it because Mayweather is undefeated. He was retired undefeated. Therefore, he won't go anywhere near Manny Pacquiao. Okay?
Yeah, but that fight has now been, you know, postponed or so many times. I mean, you know, time takes its toll, and it did take its toll against Pacquiao. Pacquiao has now been beaten.
Well, Manny Pacquiao is going a different direction. Manny Pacquiao is not even thinking about fights anymore. He's in the political world of the Philippines now. He's the governor, senator of the Philippines. So boxing is like, he'll do it, but it's not his priority anymore. And when not a priority, that's when you get beat. So Mayweather had his chance. And Mayweather had fought Pacquiao 3 years ago. It would have been great. But Mayweather, I don't know for what reason or other, he kept dodging and dodging all around Pacquiao.
Right. Let me ask you this. Do you think that fight, Mayweather-Guerrero, is even worth watching, or you're just throwing your money away?
Mayweather had his chance. And so,
shut me up, and I'm going to get out of here because I've run out of questions to ask.
I get out of here right away. I get out of here right away now.
All right.
I got to do it right now. Okay, let's see if we can do it right here. Come on, get out of here. You know what I get ready to do, right?
No, wait. Do you have a musical theme this week? I know for a while you had... musical themes with various performers, various schools of music. Have you gone away from that direction?
Not this week. This week. We gotta get you out of here right away, though. This week
watch out for those technical difficulties.
Yeah, it's going through again. Oh, difficult computer glitches.
Thank you.
the NCAA will no longer be named the BCS in college football playoff. But in reality, we know all about what it is. And the Bio families, you know what Bio families are? Pac-10, Pac-12, Big East, and ACC. SEC and the Big Family of Five. And all the small companies will still be left out. Well, you can change the name, dress it up, the same name, BCS. As Senator Mike Brown returned to Cleveland for a 6-year contract, and owner Gilbert said he made a mistake 3 years ago. And trust me, LeBron James will not be going back to Cleveland anytime soon. Thursday is the draft day. It's about a little bit that earlier. And Gomer Bio said, surprise, surprise, surprise. Yeah, you're right, Gomer. Surprise, surprise, surprise. The first round was all about Ryman. Before we do that, I would bring it in. NFL correctly. If I got it here, it's not to be. This is a problem today. We will get it. Arizona. Big Jordan Cooper from University of Carolina. St. Louis Cardinals beat Trevon Austin, wide receiver, West Virginia. New York Jets beat Dean Miller from Alabama. Tennessee Titans beat Chance Warmack from Alabama. San Diego Chargers beat DJ Fluker from Alabama. And the Oakland Raiders, their first pick, DJ Hayden from University of Houston. The other Jets pick was Richardson, defensive tackle, Missouri. The Oakland Raiders, other picks, Watson, tackle of Florida State. Moore, linebacker from University of Connecticut, Huskies. And Wilson, quarterback, Arkansas Razorbacks. The Cal Golden Bears have three going into the pros. Steve Williams, quarterback, going to San Diego. Colin Allen, wide receiver, going to San Diego. And Brian Southwick, center, going to Tennessee. They have the draft picks. And my little goddaughter is going to the Cal Bears. Congratulations to Ganing Jin, going to the University of California. At Berkeley, Nick Law to be a Golden Bear. They move on. All right. Getting down to the end of the wire here. As we end the 7th anniversary of the DLC. MLB on the DLC. Today's games, we have the Reds against Washington, Nationals, League against Arden, the Phillies beat the Mets again, 9-3 today already, Pittsburgh at St. Louis, Barnett against Westbrook, Chicago at Miami, Monday against Zabardeen. New York is at Toronto's at New York. App against D.C. Zabardia. Oakland hosts Baltimore. Tillman against Griffin. Davis is at Minnesota. Allen against Hernandez. Cleveland is at Kansas City. Jasmere against Santana. Never made it at Chicago White Sox. Moore against Floyd. And let's see what else. Colorado to Arizona. Francis against Miley. Houston at Boston. Peacock against LeBron. San Francisco is at San Diego. Lito against Lutz. Milwaukee against the LA Dodgers. Peralta against Vice. And the Angels are at Seattle. Flynn against Hernandez in the game of the week on Fox. The Tigers beat the Atlanta Braves 7-4. Miller against Mr. Pizzillo. There you have the game of the week there. Chicago, we go back to NBA. Chicago beat Brooklyn. And the Bulls take a 3-1 lead over Brooklyn Nets. That's surprising. The Clippers at Memphis about another half hour. Indiana, Atlanta, and Oklahoma City is at Houston night game. They had the NBA. In the NHL, the New York Rangers have just clinched the 8th spot in the East as they beat the New Jersey Devils 3-0, ending a bad season for the New Jersey Devils. Rangers 3, Jersey 0. And they move into the playoffs. As I said earlier, we will not know who played who until after 9:00 tonight. Next week, we will do a political show. It will not be very little about sports and black athletes in America. I hope you will come enjoy the show. Before we go, we gotta do a little bit of this before I leave. My 3 stars of the week for the NHL. National League. National Hockey League for having a great season, a fantastic ending. And the playoff begins and number two star. And Michelle Norbert, as he gives the Ottawa Senators a playoff chance, made a 2-1 victory over the Washington Capitals. And my number one star is Gold Brother Ray Emery. The Chicago Blackhawks. The President's Trophy in Chicago. Number one seed, Blackhawks. Yeah, I still believe it's going to be in Chicago against Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Okay. In the LPGA, Suzanne Bassett with the LPGA, Lord Jimmy in Hawaii, and Glenn McDowell and Westington tied at the end of the RBC Heritage Classic. With a 1-0 playoff, McDowell wins, and there's a young phenom from China who again made the cut. At the DCB Zurich Classic in New Orleans, Louisiana. I'll report results next week before we get to the political talks. In the PBA, 1 week left for the PBA. Summer toured over the country. Look at your local paper. Check out where and when. In tennis, my girls, the Wiggins sisters, do it again. Lead the Americans to finish victory over 3-1. But they lose to Italy in the quarterfinals. Russia defeats Slovakia. And Slovakia had a commanding 2-0 lead. Russia gains storm back to win 3 straight. and we'll move into the finals in November. The big 2 or 3, Monaco, Djokovic beat Nadal in 3 sets in the Tennis Masters in New York. In the IRL, Takuma Sato for Japan win the Toyota Grand Prix, the first race of the year in Long Beach, California. Sato becomes the first driver from Japan to win Indy car race. Formula One, the Red Bull team, German Sebastian Vettel, wins the crazy Bahrain crossover race as Vettel wins the Bahrain Grand Prix. And NASCAR, Matt Gansett wins the Gansett STP 400, but his team was fined and 25 points taken away from his team as illegal wire was in his car that weighed less than normal weight. Kansas win the Kansas STP 400, and it will be tonight in Richmond, Virginia International Speedway. Kyle Busch win the Nationwide O'Reilly 400 last Friday. And there you go, up and down. NASCAR today. Tonight at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on Fox Sports. Well, thank the website, blackeye.com. Look at the article about Mr. D'Antoni and his foolishness. Thank Gilbert Rezzi, WCLM, and WCLM Radio Online. Richmond, Virginia. Michael Lewis Ingram, Soul Trail on the Raw. Philadelphia, the Bad to Bad, MasterBad.biz from North Carolina. Pat Freeman, the Mighty Obob for WUFO, 1080 Buffalo, New York. And our fallen leader, Will Rogers, BSN, New York. Can't forget Dorian Wade, New England Former Magazine, Boston, Massachusetts, and GY Produce Market, GY Produce Market, and Reality Sports Group in Virginia. I hope you come back next week for our great discussion about the black athlete in America and what it has done in America. It's a four-part series. It will go from Wednesday, Thursday, and Saturday. Wednesday night, Thursday night, Saturday morning on my time, and Saturday afternoon your time. So, check out and see where it's going to be on Michael's show, on Mr. Johnson's show. Yeah, wrap it up on my show on Saturday afternoon. Hope you enjoyed the GLC anniversary show. Hope I can make it 10 more years. But I tell you, the job is a job. So, have a good night as we end with Paul Rogers' great invention.
Right through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The thrill of it to be the agony of the deep. Right through the eyes of a black guy sleep. The thrill of it.
off the court at the turn of the century, dominated sports for the love of the game. Endured the pain and forced from segregation, had to make a change. Jack Robinson, first black man to get a deal in the major league, knocking homers out the field. Led the whole league in RBIs and steals. His first year MVP, rookie of the year, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, and Vinny Mendoza paved the way for Reggie Jackson, King Griffey, and Sammy Sosa. Half of all MVPs in the history of baseball since black athletes. That's why we're selling all our feet.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Now, basketball is my favorite of all sports, because there's so many black athletes that ever blessed the court. Will Chamberlain must be the most famous, scored 100 points in the game, and no wonder who to say that Elgin Baylor, Bill Russell, and Connie Hawkins, who's the best to play the sport, Dr. J or Michael Jordan, played above the rim when they scored, hung in the air when they soared, made moves like never before. So all my black athletes, entrepreneurs, you open up the door, you deserve a round of applause. The pink skin, the grit iron, will bodies be colliding? Must be made of iron. Where would football be without the great Jim Brown? Or the players breaking tackles and running for touchdowns. But if you ever had to stop him, it'd be crushing. Because he still holds the record for the most yards rushing. Smooth with quick moves like dancing. And it's this time of day, straight down the standards. All I want to do is thank my God who worked so hard. Chase the ball, black athlete.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete. The thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Jack Johnson, a heavyweight champion in 1910, fought the best of American men. And the fourth of the century took place on Independence Day, and the purse was 100 G's to pay. The most eagerly awaited event in American history, Jack Johnson versus Jim Jeffries. Nothing Frederick Douglass ever did, nothing Booker T ever did, shocked the world like this did. The great white host came tumbling down, beaten and bruised, knocked out in the 15th round. Muhammad Ali, the greatest heavyweight champion of all time.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Charlie Stafford, the first black man to win the PGA, made it possible for Tiger Woods to play today. Althea Gibson, first black woman to win the Wimbledon. Arthur Ashe, Williams sisters, we loved them through all ups and downs and tribulations. Bad times we faced it and overcame the situation. Bill Owens won 4 gold medals in the 36th Olympics, breaking records in 3 different events. And all the black women began to dominate. In track and field, they were great in 1948. And a team full of black women won 6 medals and represented in the 52 Olympics. Thanks to William Rudolph and Elise Coachman. Black women, athletes, black both men. Flo Jones and Jackie Joyner. What's terrific in track and field, the best black women that ever did it.
Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. Life through the eyes of a black athlete, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat.
Oh. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. We are the New York Knicks. Say go New York, go New York, go. Say go New York, go New York, go. We got a few lives from the drugs. It's been 40 long years and we're sorry.
Yeah.
From that fight to Mari, to something party. The notes of the plane place are taking out the garbage. Yeah, it's the New York Knicks. We brought along Kid, he's got a bottle of tricks. You're a Nick.
You a Nick for life.
This is the year. We get first place. No back for three.
Even with no space.
Try and take it to the basket.
Uh-huh.
Tyson will leave you in a casket. Then make some mistakes. Then bam. J.R. dunks in your face. This is a team you don't want to miss. We are New York. We are the New York Knicks.
Say go New York. Go New York. Go. Say go New York. Go New York. Go.
Reminiscing of Stockton and Malone. Last year was a struggle on that playoff bubble. Thank God we got Paul, signed that discount double.
Bam.
And now he's got J's for days.
Uh-huh.
And the chips a lot if he plays like he does in 2K. They better get you rings.
Yeah.
Then Sheed Thomas and Kid better bring me some bling. Cause it costs $1.50 just to sit in the stands to watch the wind tick quick like Pablo's hand. Us Knicks fans got swag like snapbacks. It's a wrap once we get chumping stat back. So put three to your head, one to the sky. Knicks 2012, the portal lies. Pride. This is the time to bring it back, yo. We got Shumpert, Brewer, Sheed, and Melo.